Today we're going to look at a chapter in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to read a little bit in just a moment. But we're going to take a look at a word here that Paul is going to talk about in just a moment. But has anybody ever, maybe you did it in school, I did it in school, you had a art class where you made pottery. You kind of got it on the wheel there, and you shaped it, and you worked hard at it, and then they put it in the oven, and it cooks, and it comes out with a glaze, and it's a fun process. My sister-in-law is quite the expert at it, actually, and so made some incredible pieces, and I have a really nice mug at home that she made, and the funny thing was when she gave me this mug, I was just kind of observing it and looking at it, and she said, well, I made mistakes on that one, and it's not really the best one, but to me, I thought, wow, it looks wonderful. I love it, but that's the craft in it. There's a process. There's a work that happens in there, but anyone who does that also realizes that there's a fragility in that, that clay is so fragile. It's fragile in every state. It's fragile in its softened form. It's fragile in its hard form. It is fragile in every way that it possibly can be. And so Paul uses a word here when he talks about what he's about to talk about in reference to these clay type of jars, because there's a strategy that Paul's trying to get at, and he is trying to get them to understand something about this process of clay jars, jars of clay. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, is jars of clay, and hopefully bring some understanding. But in addition to this, there have been, of course, many archaeological digs across the Roman Empire where it was in its times. And one of the things that rarely survives in a full, complete piece is clay pottery, right? Because it's fragile. It breaks over time with weight or whatever. Even if it got buried at its securely, something happens and it causes it to become fragile. So we're going to read this morning a passage of Scripture to help us understand a little bit about what Paul is talking about here, clay jars. In verse 7, "But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying around in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For we who are living are always being handed over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe, and therefore we also speak, because we know the one who raised Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and will present us with you in his presence. And indeed, everything is for your sake, so that grace, when it has extended to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day, for our slight momentary affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what can be seen, but what it cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal." And he goes on to talk about in chapter 5, which we won't read it, but he begins to talk about this temporary tent of a body that is temporary. It's just here for a moment, but we've just been clothed with it until we are in our present eternal place with the Lord. And he says that verse that is often quoted at funerals, and we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. So what's Paul getting at here? He's talking about clay. He's talking about affliction. He's talking about a lot of things that are going on in them. They're battling. They're facing. There's a fight that is going on. They're wrestling. And there's this idea that there's something happening to these jars of clay, which becomes the central piece of his whole letter here, this talking about, is this idea of something that is temporary. And he starts it by telling them that we have treasure in clay jars. Now, somebody who was listening in this audience would have understood that you don't put treasure in clay jars. You don't put treasure in clay jars because they're fragile. They'll break. If you have some treasure or valuable in it, just a little bit of something, maybe something falls on it, an earthquake, whatever, that jar is most likely going to break, and everything that is in it that is precious is going to be lost. So you don't put treasure in clay jars. But there's also the understanding that what the context of this audience would have been, treasure goes in precious, in jars made of precious metals. Bronze, that would have been the ideal thing. If you have something that's valuable, don't put it in clay, put it in bronze, or put it in bronze, right? That makes sense. It's better protected from the elements. And clay jars would have been used more for practical purposes like water, but it definitely would not have been used for treasure. But Paul's getting at a point here because he's referring to us, you and I, as pieces of clay, as fragile pieces of clay that can easily be broken, pieces of clay that can demonstrate great affliction on the outside, right? When something scratches or nicks it, you're going to see the evidence of it on that clay jar. And isn't that the human life, right? How many know that sometimes living is hard? That sometimes getting older is hard. That sometimes going through the routines of life is difficult. Because we live in bodies that, number one, these bodies in our present state are not meant to be forever. They're temporary. They're temporary. Everybody's body in this room is temporary. Unless the Lord Jesus comes, we're all going to pass away. That's just the nature of what it means to be a human. That's the curse of sin upon the earth. That is the nature of our body. It is temporary. And though our bodies are temporary, Paul gives us a wonderful reminder here that even though what I see, because we look not what it can be seen, but what cannot be seen, for what is seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. And even though we are clay jars, there's treasure in all of those clay jars. The clay jar will eventually break down. The clay jar will pass away. But what is inside of the clay jar, the treasure, it's eternal. It's eternal. It goes on and on and on and on and on. And this is what Paul is trying to get them to understand, is what God is trying to do in affliction. You'll notice this is the word that he uses here often as he talks about affliction. Though we are afflicted, and even though we're wasting away, and it's a slight momentary affliction. He talks about affliction in the context of this idea of temporality. Everything is temporary. Everything is a moment. Every affliction is slight and momentary. Even though it may seem like a lifetime of sickness, it is slight and momentary. James reminds us of this way, that our life is a vapor. It's a vapor. It is here for a moment, and then it is going to suddenly disappear. That's life. It is fleeting. And many of us may have had experiences in our life where that becomes more real than at other times in our life, where we realize that life is truly fleeting. It is a moment. It is here and gone. And even though it might seem like 100 years or plus may seem like a long time, it is a momentary time when you compare it to eternity. It's momentary. And all that God is doing right now in the temporal, Paul is working up to a place to show them it is slight, it is momentary, but it has an eternal purpose. And it has an eternal plan in mind. All the afflictions that we're facing and all the things that we're dealing with in life, more or less the idea of suffering, it has an eternal purpose in mind. God has something that he's doing through the difficulties and through the tragedies of life that he's trying to remind us of our eternal promise, of the eternal grace that God is trying to work in us. And so we're going to talk this morning for just a few minutes about this thought that Paul is getting at, these jars of clay and what God is doing through these jars of clay, you and I, and through affliction. He starts by telling them, number one, that we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Now, how many of you know that does not make sense for a clay jar? Eventually, a clay jar, you beat it up enough, you bang it enough, what happens to it? It's going to fall to pieces. Oh, but Paul says, wait a minute, we're afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. How is it that you and I, we can go through hard things in life, we can go through terrible tragedies in life, terrible things can happen, but yet there's still a sense of peace that comes? Our world doesn't understand that. When terrible things and tragedies come, there is a sense of despair because life is brought to the surface of the moment, and we have to be reminded of our temporality in this moment. But he says, wait a minute, you could be perplexed but not driven to despair. Here's what the story of the early church, they were persecuted but not forsaken. You're telling me the early church, and Paul is talking about all that they were that was working against them, that they were fighting, they were being beaten, they were being put in prison, they were being martyred for the sake of Christ. You're telling me that Jesus was with them through all of that? Absolutely. But oftentimes the understanding is today is that the moment that something bad happens to me, the moment that something comes upon my life and causes me to distress and causes me pain and causes me suffering, Jesus must have taken off. He's long gone. That's the understanding oftentimes, but not for Paul. He says, we're perplexed, but not driven to despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. And then he says, but we're struck down, but not destroyed. You're telling me that you can take that clay jar and you can throw it on the ground, and what happens to it? It's not destroyed. Why? It's so temporary. It's so fragile. And what Paul is trying to get them to understand is you could easily take a bronze jar. You could beat it a few times and it survived. You could throw it on the ground and it might have a dent, but it's not. But he's showing that even in our weaknesses, even in these temporary situations of life, you can be afflicted in every way, but not destroyed. And what's Paul trying to realize? Number one, we can be afflicted in every way, but still have the grace to keep going. Suffering is not the end of any of us. Pain is not the end of any of us. Difficulty is not the end of any of us. The only one who has the capability to say the end of any of us is God. As long as God says, you and I shall have life, we shall have life. It doesn't matter how hard things get, how terrible they get. The early church, they were persecuted day after day, but some of them continued to go on and preach the gospel. God was giving them grace. He was sparing their lives. And just because you are going through difficulty does not mean that that's the end of any of us. And sometimes when you're going through that, it's easier said than done when you're being afflicted. But it's a wonderful reminder to know that in my suffering, there is a wonderful miracle that is taking place. What's the miracle? The miracle is this, is that I'm a clay jar. But yet I'm beat up. I'm thrown to the ground. I'm being pushed around all by the things of life. But somehow I'm still a clay jar at the end of it all. Why is that? Because it's the understanding of what God's grace is doing. That suffering is the revelation of God's grace gives us the capacity to do what is not normally possible. This is why when the world goes through suffering and goes through tragedy and goes through affliction, they oftentimes end up through, it becomes even worse. But the church's example is this, is that life pushes us down. Life comes toppling down on us, but there's still the sense that I'm still remaining whole. I'm still have it all together. Not because of me. I'm a clay jar. Throw something at me, I'm going to fall over. That's the law of gravity. That's going to happen. But when God's grace is preserving us, when God's grace is keeping us, when God's grace is watching over us, when you wanted to give up, but there is supernatural grace came and just reminded you that God was near. That's what God's grace is doing. And that's what Paul is trying to remind these Corinthians. Listen, you're going through hard stuff. I understand that. Who doesn't go through difficult things in life? Anybody here? No, we all go through difficult things. We all go through hard things. If you haven't yet, we all will continue to go through hard things. That is the nature of where we live. We live on a fallen planet, and it is fallen, and the things we face, it is difficult. It is hard. That is life. We are afflicted in every way, but it is the reminder that in Christ, I'm not crushed. In Christ, I have no despair. In Christ, I'm not forsaken, and in Christ, I'm not destroyed. That affliction is not the end of anyone in this room. But Paul has something he's working at here. What's the purpose of affliction? What's he getting at? Well, he says it here in the next verse, and actually he repeats himself twice. He says we're persecuted but not forsaken, we're struck down but not destroyed. He says we're always carrying around in the body the death of Jesus. Why? So that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our bodies. For we who are living are always being handed over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our mortal flesh. He repeats himself here twice. And he says this here, that we've been handed over to death so that the life of Jesus may be visible in our bodies and in our flesh. This tells us something about affliction, is that God uses affliction to make Jesus visible in all of us. God uses the difficulties of life, and God uses the pain of what we're going through so that Jesus can be made plain. He also goes on to add here that we carry around in the body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be found. We're always being handed over to death. Why? For Jesus' sake. So affliction and suffering is the way which God strips the flesh from you and I, removes our attachments from the things of this world, gets our mind off of ourselves, and starts reminding us of why we were really created. This is all temporary. Nobody's taking it with us. We're not taking our body. You can invest, and this is the tragedy of Hollywood, is that there are people who will live until they're late in their days of life, and they will give money after money to try to preserve their body, doing all the different types of things, but the inevitable will always happen. We'll all pass away. And it shows us, and it's a reminder, that it doesn't matter how much you invest in this life. You put into this life, it will eventually go on, because this life is not the life we're living for. The life that we're living for is beyond us. It's eternity. This is momentary. This is temporary. This is not the goal. It's not a goal to end up in life and to have the best health and the best career and the best retirement. That's not the goal. The goal is eternity. The goal is that I make it. The goal is that I'm in the presence of Jesus, which Paul goes on to say, that he will raise us up and present us in his presence. We're making Jesus visible. All the affliction you're going through right now, all the pain you're going through, all the suffering I've gone through and that you've gone through, it has been intended to make Jesus visible, so that his life can be seen in our lives, so that there can be less Charlie and more Jesus. Like John says, I must decrease, but he must increase. I remember the story, and I may have shared it before, but one of the missionaries that I've long admired in my life, Darlene Rose, who was a prisoner of war during World War II and been taken captive by the Japanese, and there she was in Papua New Guinea and had been tucked away in a prison where she could not barely have any food that was not covered by maggots and was treated horrendously in that time of prison. And she just questioned God in the middle of all of that. Not doubted God, but questioned. God, what is it that you're, why me? What's going on here? And she recalls in that cell that she was, in that dark, dingy cell that she was in, she shares about how God's tender voice spoke to her and said, I'm making your heart as pure as gold. And that's what Job said, right? Job 23. After all of this, that I might come forth as gold. And the suffering and pain and difficulty, listen, it's terrible. But God never wastes anything. And God is intentional. And he has a way of taking the Genesis 50:20, what was meant for evil, and have a way of redeeming it for good. And he redeems the hardships of life to bring glory to him. He redeems the difficulties of life to honor him, to bring praise to him. And that's why you can have a cancer diagnosis and still praise God, because the life of Jesus is being made visible in our bodies. You'll notice something about those who I've learned in my life, this is just personally me, that I, those who I've known who are believers who have some type of ailment in their life of suffering, that somehow after years of bearing that suffering, they seem to be the most joyous people that I know. They seem to be the one who wear smiles the biggest and who are always ambitious about life. And I've often wondered, why is that? Because it's this principle right here, is that all the afflictions, it is handing our bodies over to death for Jesus' sake so that the life of Jesus may be visible. And I've realized that what I'm seeing is not them. I'm seeing Jesus. I'm seeing Jesus who was stripped of everything, beaten to a pulp there at the end. But what was coming out of him at the cross was still love for people that beat him and handed him over. It was Jesus. It was made visible all through that. Why else does God take these jars of clay and use affliction? We see here Paul ends this little letter here before he gets to the final conclusion. And he says to them, he says, indeed, everything is for your sake, so that grace, when it has extended to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Here's the great reality about all that you and I are going through. It's not about us. It's about grace going to more and more people. How many of us just need a good reminder, like I do this morning, that we live in a broken world, that we live around people who are not perfect, and we live around people who don't have it all together, and we're living through people who are going through very difficult things, hard things, terrible things. And God takes what I'm going through and the hardships that I'm facing and gives me the capacity to extend grace to them. Because then I understand what it means to receive grace in suffering. Then I understand what it means to receive grace in weakness. I understand what it means to live in a frail, temporary vessel. But yet there is still the miraculous that can happen. Grace that can sustain and keep it. And God uses all the affliction in our life to extend grace to more and more. God's heart is this. Number one, that you and I would love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's number one, right? Jesus said. But number two is what? Love your neighbor as yourself. And so if God wants to get us to love him, he's going to do that. But number two he's going to do is help us to love our neighbor. And how do we love our neighbor? We have to understand what they're going through. We have to understand what it means to be beat down by life. But yet God's grace richly supported us and sustained us. It's extending grace to more and more. Affliction is the condition of humanity. It is the condition of every person on this earth. And it is through that that God speaks. God speaks through affliction. He reminds us. That's why Jesus could say that he was a man acquainted with our sufferings, acquainted with our griefs, so that he may be God with us. If he wasn't acquainted with our sufferings and if he wasn't acquainted with our afflictions, could he really say he was God with us? He was God watching us. No, he was God with us. He walked through it. In all points that you and I have been tempted and afflicted, Jesus himself was also tempted and afflicted in all of those same points. Musicians are going to come. So Paul gives them the wonderful reminder here today. And this is the most important part of all of this. So we do not lose heart. My brother, my sister, today, I want to encourage you. Whatever you're going through, I know it's difficult. But better than I know it's difficult, Jesus knows it's difficult. And he's encouraging you today. Do not lose heart. The worst thing that can happen in any affliction, in any suffering, is that you give up. And Paul knows that. That you can just throw in the towel and say, is it really worth keeping going? And he reminds them, yes, our outer nature is wasting away. Yes, it is perishing. It is fading. It is going to happen. But guess what's happening? While that is happening, the inner nature is being renewed day by day. And he reminds them, our slight momentary affliction. Never forget it. All affliction is momentary. All pain is temporary. All suffering is temporary. It's not eternal. But what's it doing? Is producing. It reminds us this morning that what God is doing in the pain and what God is doing in the difficult, it has a purpose and it's intended to produce something. It's not because God's mad at you and it's not because God's angry and that he's watching you and just laughing at you going through it all. That's how the world and that's how Satan would love us to think about God. That's not the case. No, not at all. The goal of it is this. It is to produce an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. What's that mean, a weight of glory? That's a hard thing to comprehend. But what Paul's talking about here is something that is not from this earth. It's a weight. It's put upon us. It's rested upon us. It's the grace of God. It's the glory of the Lord to be revealed through us. It's that what Paul goes back and says, but we have this treasure in clay jars. Because we're not looking at what can be seen, but we're looking at what cannot be seen. For what is can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. God has a plan. Whatever you're going through this morning, God has a plan for it. And the number one thing I want to remind you today is that Jesus is with you. Don't you ever think for a moment that Jesus isn't with you. That's why Paul could tell them, we're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. Why? Because Jesus is with us through it all. Through everything you're going through, every pain, every bearing of burden that's upon you, every diagnosis, every child that turns on you, every family member that walks away from the Lord, and the pain that it causes in your soul. Listen, this morning, be reminded and encouraged. Do not lose heart. God is with us. Jesus is with you. And this morning, I just want to pray for you. Maybe that's you today. God knows it's temporary, and He's encouraging you today. Keep going. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. Keep fighting. Keep pressing. So this morning, if you're able, let's all stand today. Maybe you say to me this morning, Charlie, I just needed that reminder today. It's not a waste what I'm going through. God's doing something in this. God is doing something. Yes, He is. It's treasure in jars of clay. What is most important isn't what's on the outside. It's the treasure that's on the inside. That's what goes on. That's what matters. This is all temporary. It will all pass away. But the most important thing is you and I will be with the Lord forever. This morning you're going through affliction, you're going through pain. Would you just come and stand here at the front this morning? We want to pray with you. You're facing some hard things in life right now, some decisions. Somebody turned on you, your medically health issue, whatever it is. Would you just come and stand here at the front? Folks here, the prayer team, they're going to come and stand behind you, and we're going to pray God's grace be with you. Because remember, it's not your strength that matters, it's God's grace. For in your weakness, Paul said, reminded us, His power is made perfect. And so, Lord, this morning we pray over our brothers and sisters that are going through affliction today. And we pray this morning today, God, that You will strengthen them by Your grace today. That, Lord, the Holy Spirit would move upon them, that they would not lose heart, Lord. Lord, every person that's standing here this morning, don't let any of them give up, Lord. Don't let any of them get discouraged, but they may be reminded Your grace is strengthening them today, Lord. Your grace is helping them this morning. So, God, move upon them. Move upon them today. Give them help today. Give them strength to keep going, Lord. Oh, may the power of the Holy Spirit move upon them this morning today. We thank You, Jesus. We thank You, Lord. We praise You, Lord. Hallelujah. We bless You, Jesus. We thank You. Come on, just call on Jesus. Call on me. He will answer you, Jesus says. Lift up your voice to Him. Tell Him how much you need His help today. Lord, this is difficult, but it's not too hard for You, Lord. You can help me today. We thank You, Jesus. We bless You, Lord. We bless You today. We bless You, Jesus. We have this treasure in jars of clay. We're struck down, but not destroyed. That's our testimony this morning. Hallelujah.